86, Wilson Baker Incorporated.
This is an application for an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 1 acre more or less. Property is located east of DuPont Boulevard, US Route 113, 200 feet north of Beach Highway, Route 16. A 911 address was not available. The tax map ID is District 230, Map 26, Parcel Number 40. For the benefit of the record, the commission has previously been provided with a survey of the property as of July, with the application on July 7, 2015. An exhibit booklet was provided by the applicant for consideration on August 28th of 2015. And that exhibit booklet contained references to the project team and their qualifications, series of maps and aerials, a copy of a portion of the comprehensive land use plan map and attachments, a survey and a copy of the deed to the property, a copy of the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District map, a copy of a DLDOT letter dated July 29, 2015 with an attached support facilities report, and suggested proposed findings of fact for consideration. We did receive one agency comment, being the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. It was a memorandum dated September 9, 2015, and they referenced that the site is located in the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District, that wastewater capacity is available for up to 4 EDUs, which are equivalent dwelling units per acre. The downstream upgrades at the developer's expense could be required for a project that exceeds 4 EDUs per acre. That the current system connection charge rate is $8,000 per EDU, that the parcel has not been provided with a sewer connection point, that the project is capable of being annexed into the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District, that conformity to the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District, wastewater planning study of June 2007 will be required, that the parcel must be annexed into the sewer district prior to connecting to sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. Gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Chair recognizes Mr. Davidson.
Good evening. My name is Mark Davidson. I'm with Pannoni Associates, located outside of Milton, Delaware. We are the engineers, surveyors, and the land planners for this particular piece of property. To my left and to your right is one of the owners of Wilson Baker Incorporated, Mr. Mark Baker. Wilson Baker Incorporated is a Delaware business. It has been family owned and operated since 1952. In the booklet, as Mr. Lank was reading out, that in tab one are the qualifications for Pannoni Associates and myself. This is an application to grant a rezoning of land that is located in AR1 zoning. And in the booklet, I've provided a zoning map of the area. And as you will notice that we are asking to rezone this AR1 land to CR1, general commercial. And as you will tell by the zoning map, that it is surrounded on all three sides with on the south, on the east, and then on the north by already zoned C1 general commercial properties. Mr. Baker and Wilson Baker Incorporated already own the Exxon gas station that is located on at the intersection of Route 16 and Route 113. This parcel is located on the east side of US 113. It's approximately about 220 feet north of the Delaware Route 16, and again adjacent to the Exxon gas station and convenience store that's already operating on the site. The intent of the use of the property is to expand the existing use that's already owned by and operated by Wilson Baker Incorporated. The property, and again, the subject property being on 113, DLDOT has indicated that it is a major collector highway. We did, there was no traffic impact study that was warranted for the rezoning application. And in the letter that's in the booklet, DLDOT even stated that they would allow a right-in and a right-out access on this piece of property for any type of expansion that we propose for the site. In the 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update, and I've provided a future land use map in the booklet. This property is identified in the future land use as a commercial district, which is for highway commercial uses. The 2010 strategies for state policies and spending identifies it as it's in an investment level two. The proposed commercial rezoning is in character with the nature of the area and will not adversely affect the neighboring adjacent properties. I have provided for the record a copy of the uses in the area. Again, at this intersection, you've got the Royal Farms, you've got the Cross Christian Academy, across Route 16, sort of at a diagonal, there's the brand new Dollar General store. North of this site is the White's Drilling Corporation, and then I believe Weller's has a small commercial property there where they, from time to time, I believe he showcases some of his trailers. The site right now is currently, the existing site, the existing Exxon currently has an on-site well, so if any expansion were to occur on this site as a part of the expansion of the existing Exxon station there, an on-site water system will be utilized. And again, as Mr. Lank stated, that the wastewater for this site, we are immediately adjacent to the Ellendale wastewater sewer district. The existing Exxon station is already connected to the Ellendale, so with the expansion, we'll be asking for an annexation to the Ellendale sanitary sewer district. And lastly, we have in the booklet, I submitted some proposed findings of fact that you may be able to use for consideration in the rezoning of this property. At this time, I'll take any questions.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Burton.
So the current site is on a well, and your plan would be to leave that on a well but to hook to sewer?
That's it, right? Yeah, I'm Mark Baker, as Mark Davidson stated earlier, one of the owners of Wilson Baker Incorporated. Yes, the current site is on a well. When we built that facility on the corner, there was no Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District, so we were on a well and septic. When the opportunity came to hook into Ellendale's, we worked with them to bring sewer out to the highway. And so our existing site is hooked in, so the logistics of a connection to the district in the future, I'm sure, would not be complicated. There is no public water supply, so we would continue, if we expanded, we would continue to either use our existing well or possibly drill another one. I don't have an answer for that.
Good, thank you. If the plan is to expand the current Exxon station, did DelDOT allude to the exit and egress? Does that all curve up, and how does that change the existing site? Because it's pretty open there on that corner. You can.
Right. At that time, once we come in, the letter stated as once we come in with an application to DelDOT to expand the facility or to develop this adjacent parcel, we will have to relook at the entire access to both properties at that time.
Right, but the plan would be to join the properties.
That's correct, yes.
Yes, the plan would be to operate one business. It's just in this, when we built that facility in 1988, 1 acre was a large piece of property for a convenience store and gas station, and as you all know in your travels, it is not anymore. And that's why we're looking to be able to expand. So.
Okay. So the whole red area is all C1?
That's correct.
So this is the only part on
That's
13.
Correct, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I have no further questions. Thank you, sir. Mr. Johnson.
I'll be brief. It looks like a perfect infill rezoning, and I have no questions given the presentation and the materials that were presented to the commission in advance.
All right, then, Mr. Ross.
No questions.
Okay, Ms. Cornwell.
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Lank.
No questions.
Counselor.
No questions.
All right, then. I have no questions either. So, gentlemen, we'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that wishes to speak in favor of change of zone number 1786 Wilson Baker Incorporated? Is there anyone here that wishes to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1786? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you. Okay. Next public hearing, is there a representative of the Cawthon Ventures hearings here? Mr. Fuquay, do you wish to consolidate these?
Yes, Mr. Richard.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, what that means is that we have two public hearings left on our agenda. They are both for Cawthon Ventures Delaware LLC, and they are interrelated. So for purposes of the public hearing, these hearings are going to be consolidated into one presentation. However, they will be voted on as separate applications, and I will read them into the record separately, and then Mr. Lank will report on both of them. So it's change of zone number 1783 Cawthon Ventures Delaware LLC and conditional use number 2028 Cawthon Ventures Delaware LLC.
Yes, thank you. This is an ordinance, or first, change of zone 1783 is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 14.79 acres, more or less. Property is located north of Lighthouse Road, Route 54, east of Lost Point Road, and northwest of Bayville Shore Drive. The 911 address was not available. The tax map ID is District 533, Map 12, Parcel 100. The second application is conditional use number 2028 for an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district from four multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 14.79 acres, more or less. Property is located north of Lighthouse Road, Route 54, east of Lost Point Road, and northwest of Bayville Shores Drive. 911 address was not available, and the tax map ID is District 533, Map 12, Parcel 100. The application was filed on June 24th of 2015 and included a survey and site plan. Copies of the applicant's response to the PLUS, which is the preliminary land use service comments, were submitted. A statement of compliance to the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone was also submitted. Then the applicants provided an exhibit booklet on August 27, 2015 for consideration. The exhibit booklet contained a description of the project team, an executive summary, a project overview with a boundary survey, topographic and non-tidal wetland survey, an overview of the current site conditions, references to Delta improvements, references to the PLUS comments, references to compliance with the MR medium density residential district, references to compliance with Chapter 99-9C of the subdivision code, references to compliance with a comprehensive land use plan 2008 update, a map of the general area, a copy of the environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report, a copy of an email between representatives of the applicant and DelDOT, a copy of the PLUS comments with redlined responses from the applicant, a copy of a portion of the strategies for state policies and spending map of the area showing that the site is located in a level 3 area, a series of maps and aerials, and resumes of the engineers on behalf of the application. On September 9th of 2015, DelDOT provided additional comments referencing that initially it was determined that no traffic impact study was warranted. That upon further review, the site still exceeds the 50 vehicle trips ends per day, or excuse me, per hour. That DelDOT will accept an area-wide study fee of $10 per daily trip in lieu of the traffic impact study. That payment would be due when the site plan is submitted for a no objection review. That the department will be requiring a right turn lane with bike lanes. that the existing pedestrian facilities are, will be restored with ADA compliant ramps and crosswalks for the new entrance. That the existing center turn lane will suffice for traffic making less into the development. That a 15-foot wide permanent easement will need to be established across the property's frontage. That the location of the easement shall be outside the limits of the ultimate right-of-way for this road. That the easement can be used as a part of the open space calculation for the site. That the department will have no objection with the application moving forward through the zoning process, but will require the project to obtain a letter of no objection and entrance approval prior to final approval with Sussex County. We also heard from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. They provided comments on September 9 of 2015, referencing that the site is located in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District. That wastewater capacity is available for the project. That Ordinance 38 construction will be required. That the current system connection charge rate is $5,775 per equivalent dwelling unit. That a potential gravity connection point is available in Lighthouse Road. Conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required. Connection to the sewer system is mandatory. Sewer capacity has been allocated on the basis of 4 EDUs per acre. That the proposed project is within planning study and system design assumptions for sewer service, and that there will be adequate capacity for the proposed project. That the county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet county engineering standards and procedures. That county engineer must approve the connection point, and all costs associated with extending sewer service will be solely responsible by the developer, and that a concept plan will be required. We also received 3 letters in opposition to the application, and have been, well, they've been received, and they expressed concerns about the number of homes, a preference for single family homes, a loss of a beautiful wooded parcel, the impact of the development on birds and other wildlife, the loss of trees, the impact on property values if the project would permit rentals, noise, concerns about drainage, increased traffic, the overdevelopment of the area, the lack of adequate traffic lanes and turning lanes, the impact of additional traffic on emergency vehicles causing delays in emergency services, allowing increased density in an already overcrowded area is not in the best interest of the property owners, the community, or the coastal environment. And that was a summation of the 3 letters of any that had any comment on this application. That's all I have.
All right, sir, we thank you.
Chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay. Before Mr. Fuquay gets started, ladies and gentlemen, I want to point out to you that our new technology is still in the process of being assimilated by some of our presenters. This particular applicant has some boards here. They are very difficult for you to see from where you're sitting. So please feel free to get up and stand right next to it and take a look at them as long as you want to. I just ask that you not have any conversation while you're up there, because we're gonna proceed with the hearing. But do feel free to get up and take as close a look at them as you would like. All right, sir, go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Wheatley, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney representing the applicant. And just to follow up on what you said, there's 3 boards that I'll be referring to the commission, and they are the 3 boards there, and we'll place the board up that I'm referring to when the time comes.
Okay, thank you.
With me tonight are Dan McGreevy on behalf of the applicant, and Frank Key and Jason Palkowitz of Solutions IPEM, the site design and engineers. As you've already noted, these are 2 related applications. One is to rezone the land from AR to MR, and the second is for a conditional use for 61 townhouses. So we will be combining our presentation, and that presentation will serve as the record for both the applications. An exhibit booklet was submitted, which I believe you gentlemen have a copy of. So as I said, these applications request MR zoning and a conditional use for 61 townhouses. The parcel of land involved is 14.79 acres. It's located on the north side of Route 54 between Bayville Shore Drive and Laws Point Road. The site is currently wooded. The applicant is treating the site as if there are 4.17 acres of federal jurisdiction wetlands. The reason I say that is that the actual federal jurisdictional wetlands are less than that, but basically those areas are going to be treated as if they are wetlands. Some of those are not considered jurisdictional wetlands because they actually have no surface connection to waters of the United States. So they're not jurisdictional, but as I said, they will be treated as federal wetlands, and none of that area will be disturbed. There are no state tidal wetlands located on the property. If I can get Jason or Frank to serve as an easel. The site, maybe, why don't you get over in the center?
Well, Mr. Palkowicz, you're no Vanna White, but I guess you'll do.
Sure, my keep.
The site is literally surrounded by a variety of residential development, and our application, I think, can be clearly referred to as an infill development. As I stated, our property is superimposed right here with our proposed conditional use. It borders Route 54 on the south, and also a small wooded piece right here, also on the south. On the west side of the property would be this side of the property. The site borders Laws Point Road, and then there's a section of Shady Park, which is located on the other side of Laws Point Road. Shady Park is a manufactured home development. The north boundary of the site also borders Shady Park, which goes back to here. The northeast corner, which would be right over here, is adjacent to the Bayville Landing development. The east side along here actually borders a portion of Bayville Shores Drive, and the southeast portion, which would be right here, is adjacent to the Bayville Shores South condominium. As far as the zoning, just if you can change it. As far as the zoning, this is basically a map of the existing zoning in the area. And I would honestly say if I was teaching a course on zoning, I think this would be my the map that I would use to instruct how different districts are superimposed and fit together. Again, our site here is marked in blue right here. As you can see, the predominant zoning district in the general area is the orange color, which is the MR medium density zoning that we are requesting. In the immediate area surrounding our site, there's a mixture of districts. To the south of our site, which would be on the other side of Route 54, there's a parcel of land zoned AR1, which would be this parcel here. Next to that is T-Berry Woods, which is actually zoned AR2, and I think you're all familiar that we very seldom see AR2. It was a district that was actually closed back in 1982. West of those sites are the Kenwick West and the Kenwick Sound development, which are zoned MR. Again, to the west and north of our site, which basically is Shady Park, the zoning map shows that it's zoned as AR1. However, that's somewhat misleading because a portion of that is actually a non-conforming mobile home community, and the rest of it is actually a conditional use mobile home community. So a portion of Shady Park existed before the county had zoning, and the undeveloped portion had to be approved as a conditional use. So that is a manufactured home park. West of Shady Park is a parcel of land that's zoned C1 commercial, and then MR land to the west of that, which is the refuge at Derrickson Creek. North of Shady Park, up here, is Swan Keys. That's zoned GR, general residential. Northeast of our site is the Bayville Shores residential plan community. That's here. That is a mixed-use residential community that's zoned high-density residential. And immediately adjacent to our site, which would be right here, is the Bayville Shores South condominium that was zoned HR high-density residential in 2006. And that application is interesting because the applicant, in seeking the HR zoning, offered to place a private restriction on that property that would limit the development to 17 townhouses. So, and that is what was done. There were 17 townhouses constructed on that parcel. That parcel with the 17 townhouses has a gross density of 4.8 units to the acre. It was rezoned HR rather than a conditional use to be consistent with the Bayville Shores development. So I think, as you can see, there's a wide variety of residential uses and residential designations in the area. As to our specific application, the requested MR zoned conditional use of 61 townhouses would have a density of 4.1 units per acre, which is compatible with but less than the adjacent townhouse development that is zoned HR with the 4.8 units per acre density. DLDOT reviewed the site plan. A TIS was not required. The applicant will be contributing to the area-wide study fund. The entrance is from Route 54. A new right turn in lane would be constructed per DLDOT's requirements. It would be approximately 160 feet in length. It would have a 10-foot car lane and a 5-foot bike lane. The entrance, of course, would be built in accordance with DLDOT regulations and standards. The development will be served by central water from Artesian Water for domestic use and fire protection. The site is in the county's Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District. The County Engineering Department review comments dated September 3rd, 2015, which Mr. Lank referred to, state that the proposed project is within planning study and system design assumptions for sewer service to the parcel, and there will be adequate capacity for the project as proposed. Storm water management design will, and of course by law is required, to conform with the DENREC's new stormwater management regulations. The site is in the fire service area of the Roxana Volunteer Fire Company and is in the Indian River School District. Approximately 60% of the parcel, about 9 acres, will remain as open space, and that will consist of the wooded wetlands, also non-wetland areas where stormwater management areas are located and with passive open areas are located. The development will be a condominium community, and care and maintenance of the buffers, the stormwater management areas, the wetlands, lawns, and the drive, and maintenance of all exterior buildings would be the responsibility of the condominium association. Lastly, our proposed development is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The site is designated as being in both the environmentally sensitive developing area and in the mixed residential area. They are two of the plan's growth areas where development is directed. The plan states the following guidelines should apply to future growth in the mixed residential area. First, the plan states that as to permitted uses, the plan recognizes that a full range of housing types are appropriate. in this residential area, including single-family, townhouse, and multifamily units. Second, the plan recognizes that densities in these areas range from a maximum of 4 homes per acre for single-family homes to a maximum of 12 dwelling units per acre for multifamily housing. And third, the plan states that central water and sewer facilities are strongly encouraged. Now, our application is in accordance with the plan. Since, number one, our proposal of townhouses is recognized as an appropriate use. Our density of 4.1 units per acre is significantly less than the maximum densities referred to in the plan. And as I already stated, our site will have central water from Artesian and central sewer from Sussex County. So our application fully complies with the comp plan. We did receive yesterday an inquiry from a representative of the Bayville Shores development, basically regarding two issues. The first issue was whether our development proposed any access from our site to Bayville Shores Drive. Bayville Shores Drive is this road right here. As you can see from our site plan, we are proposing no entrance or exit or any connection to that road. The Bayville Shores South condominium does have access to that road, and at least it was expressed to us that this property may have an easement to connect to that road. In any event, we're not utilizing that. There's going to be no connection, and if there is an easement, we're perfectly willing to terminate it because this would be our proposed plan. The second concern that was raised was involving the stormwater management on our site. As I stated, the development will comply with the new stormwater regs, and I'm going to ask Mr. Key to provide some additional detail regarding the stormwater question. Frank.
Good evening. It's Frank Key for the record with Solutions IPEM. Stormwater management, as Jim said, will comply with the current stormwater management regulations to begin with. But in general terms, the way it will work on site, the stormwater there is captured by Bayville Shores Road, certain of the lots that back up to the property, and Route 1, the property to the southwest. And the way water leaves the site currently is a ditch that runs along Laws Point Road. A portion of the site goes that way, and the other portion of the site outfalls in a ditch that runs north-south on the back property line and then turns and runs coincident with the property line between Bayville Shores and Shady Park. It goes on past the homes in Bayville Shores. It bypasses a storm water management pond that they have there and eventually gets into another ditch in Shady Park then evacuates into one of the canals. So the bottom line is, currently we are taking on certain amount of stormwater management from the townhouses that abut the property, that drain directly onto this property, as well as about four rear yards of homes that abut the property. So we're gonna maintain that same point of outfall. We can't, by law, allow any more rate of outflow occur than does today, as you know. And in essence, it's self-contained. It outfalls the same way it does today. And the point that was raised to me in the phone call that I had was, will we be impacting the roadside drainage or the stormwater management that exists in Bayville Shores? We will not. We have nothing to do with it. This water outfalls in a completely different way and never intermingles. And that's basically how stormwater management will work there.
Thank you. Jason, come on back up. The other site features that I didn't mention, as I said, there is an entrance coming in from Route 54. The internal drive, as you can see, is kind of Y-shaped. The street will have street lights. There will be curb and gutter. The actual road surface would be widened an additional 5 feet to allow for a designated marked pedestrian bike lane, and that would connect back out to Route 54 where there are existing sidewalks. There would be a 20-foot buffer surrounding the perimeter of the site, which would be either the existing wooded areas or landscaped areas, which of course will be submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission for approval. As I said, trees will remain in the wetland areas and in non-wetland areas where that are not utilized for site development. The federal jurisdictional wetland areas will remain undisturbed, and they will be appropriately marked. There is a community gathering area. It's referred to on the plan as an outdoor living room, which I'd never seen before, and I assume you haven't seen before. The concept is actually a delineated area, and in this case, it would contain a large fireplace. It would have grills on either side of the fireplace, picnic benches, regular benches, and it would be an area that can be used for community gatherings or for private events of residents. And that, of course, would be under the control of the Homeowners Association. I have a couple pictures here just to give you some idea. This isn't meant to be what they're doing there exactly, but this is what was done at another location. And I would like to submit for your consideration some proposed findings on the MR rezoning application and proposed findings on the end conditions on the conditional use application. For your consideration. And that will conclude our presentation, other than any questions you may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Ross.
Mr. Fuqua, I was just asking Vince, because on your drawing, the property line crosses Walls Point Road in that corner. How does that work?
The actually, Walls Point Road crosses the property line, I guess would probably be the more appropriate way to put it. The at some point in time in the past, there was an easement obtained when they put that road in or widen that road, and it actually does cut across that corner of the property.
And does Walls Point Road exist in this configuration? Because I had trouble finding it the other day.
Yes. It goes back to Swan Keys.
Okay. Yeah. So it's next to the food line there?
No.
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 Further down.
Further up.
Closer to Bethany.
Right. Okay. I had trouble finding it the other day, the road itself.
Yeah, it's just, well, obviously it's just past the site, but it's, like I said, this site's right between the two roads.
I like this outdoor living room. Just don't show it to my wife, or I'm afraid I'm going to get remote to that. Well, let's step back and we'll revisit that a little bit. The MR zoning and the condominium format with the townhouses, I guess the townhouses are two-story configuration within about 40 feet or whatever, give or take.
Well, obviously they'd be within the county guidelines, but I assume they'd be two-story townhouses, yes.
It's unusual to see the townhouses in a condominium setting, but that's okay. The it seems as if the densities that you referenced are okay. I might take exception to including the mobile home part, because that was previously non-conforming and a very high density, but you're still within the range, it appears, with the Bayville condos below. So I think it's still a reasonable assertion that the densities you're asking for are okay. The sidewalks we've had an issue with, I'm sure Mr. Johnson will probably visit that. This is a conditional use and they're not required by code. So I want to make sure that we're clear on this, that there's sidewalks, curb and gutter on both sides of the road?
No.
No?
No, there's curb and gutter, but between, okay, there's going to be an additional 5 feet of pavement in the road that you would normally not have for the road right of way. And that's going to be marked as a bike pedestrian path.
So it's an at-grade blacktop marked for a bike.
Right, striped or some appropriate
mark.
And then there'll be a curb on the side of that.
Right.
And that will run along all the roads and go out and connect to the sidewalk on Route 54.
And that will be part of the conditions, okay, to make sure we get that accurately reflected. The streetlights, I guess, do you have some idea of how many streetlights you plan on putting in, or is there a streetlight design, or?
Are they shown on the plan?
No.
I don't think the details have been done on that.
Likely, it's Frank Key, likely there would be one at the entrance, one at the main intersection, and one at the secondary intersection in the back, and one at the cul-de-sac, and one at the turnaround, if that answers the question. So at the point decision points, if you will.
So we can put a minimum or something in the CU, and then if you exceed that.
Can I expand upon that?
Yeah.
Would that be determined by the electric company, which normally moves them around if you show them on a site plan? So if they determine where they go, then they would determine the number and the need for the, because of shadows, et cetera.
Yes, generally what they do is you can put them where you want them. As you know, you rent them from the utility company. What they do is put them near a transformer because they, with the rent cost comes a certain amount of cable. If you move them past that, you have to pay for the additional cable. So they'll have something to say about it. If it doesn't adequately light the site, we can still move them such that they will. It just comes at a cost.
So if it was stipulated as streetlights, it should be subject to the approval of the electric company as far as location, because they make that determination. Typically, the cul-de-sacs, the corners, the entrance is where they normally put them.
Right.
Okay. The wetlands, I understand, are going to be and all the maintenance of the condo association, but are the wetlands going to be marked with some kind of permanent markers so people don't forget where those boundaries are?
Yes, they will be marked, and they'll be periodically there'll be the signs like you see on a golf course that say this is a environmentally sensitive area, do not trespass or disturb or something of that nature.
Are you indicating in your testimony that you're going to go beyond what is actually a wetland, but you didn't talk about any buffers, so I think I just want to be clear that you're going up to the extent of the wetlands as you've marked them, even though it might be fairly generous as to what was determined to be wetlands?
Yeah, the because it's a condominium-type setup rather than lot lines, the buildings that are adjacent to the wetlands, if you looked on the site plan, if you picked out the buildings that are closer to the wetlands, the average distance from the wetlands is about 26 feet. The closest point that a building is to the wetlands is 8 feet. So that's basically the layout.
Okay. And then finally, let's go back to the Laws Point Road and all. Why did you choose not to put your entrance and connect to Laws Point Road rather than create another intersection on 54?
Well, DelDOT approved that connection, number one.
Well, I don't doubt that DelDOT did, but why did you not choose, or did you inquire in the hooking into Laws Point Road?
Frank?
We didn't inquire. We view it as a negative for the site to be connected either to Bayville Shores Road or Laws Point. If you consider, if you're going west and there's traffic and the light is red, you can get out of traffic into the right-hand turn lane and cut through the development to get back to the 600 or so homes that are in Shady Park and Swan Keys. It could become a massive cut-through. Same thing going east. If you get into the left turn lane and there was a break in traffic, you could cut through and go to Bayville Shores. So we chose not to do it for those reasons, together with the issues that come up about liability and shared maintenance costs.
But, I mean, if you didn't have the entrance on 54 and you only had the entrance on Laws Point Road, there's no place to cut through to.
That's true, but we would have to have some kind of arrangement with another homeowner association that may or may not be willing. We would rather the project be more like let's just say a self-contained sort of cul-de-sac. Furthermore, you can market the community in a, you know, better with your own entrance than you can when you share it.
And again, I would add that, you know, we worked with DelDOT as far as the entrance is concerned. If they had indicated they didn't want an entrance on 54, we would have had to at least pursue that, but they granted an entrance on 54 subject to the turn lane. The other thing about Lost Point Road, I'm not sure if that's a public road or a private road, because it really goes right into Shady Lane and to Swan Keys.
I was just thinking of the people turning left to go to Bethany Beach when they leave on 54, and the two intersections, which they basically become, are not that far apart. But you're right, Mr. Fickway, that is a DLDOT issue, but it troubles me a little bit. That's all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Rolse, if I can just on two of the comments you made, the townhouse condominiums, actually, they're often condominiums. They can look exactly the same, and it can be a condominium, or they can actually be on a lot that has its own dimensions. It just depends on what the developer wants to do, how much land's available, things of that nature. But they look identical, but we often do them in both ways. The other thing, as far as the density, obviously Shady Park and Swan Keys, they're really a different animal. My only point there is that they're both fairly dense. And then the two more comparable developments, the one next to us, as I said, which is townhouse condominiums, is 4.8. And the overall density of Bayville Shores, at least according to the planning and zoning minutes, and this is back from 1992 when that was approved, it was stated that the RPC density, which, as you know, is the gross minus state wetlands and roads, that RPC density was 5.18. So the gross density would be something less than that, but again, very comparable to the range in which we're in.
I only mentioned it because while you mentioned the Shady Park high density, which is an old development, you just didn't mention Teaberry Woods, which is a lot less, and I was just trying to balance the brevity out a little bit. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Mr. Ross, for reminding me about sidewalks. And that they're not in our ordinance, so I won't even talk about them tonight. I've been whipped enough on sidewalks. Anyhow, I guess my concern as I look at this in terms of the increased density and while it may fit in somewhat with the other areas, is what I see or view as a lack of amenities. You know, when you look at Bay Shores, you know, they're going to have their clubhouse and pools and et cetera. What I see here is a fire pit, basically, or a fireplace, maybe with some picnic tables. So that raises some concerns when I see a condominium that's not providing any means of either active or even passive recreation. So from a marketing standpoint, you might want to reconsider that in terms of adding some marketable amenities.
And Mr. Johnson, the only thing I would say is of course, Bay Shores is 300 and some units.
Right.
So it's a different animal.
Sure.
And as far as I know, the condos next door, I don't believe there are any amenities there. And again, that's a different animal because that's only 17 units. So we're kind of in that in-between area where, you know, all the rec facilities have cost to them and maintenance to them and things of that nature. So it does depend on what you're marketing to. Like a pool for something like this just wouldn't be feasible. There's really no need for a clubhouse. I think you can see that gathering space would be a very attractive place. You know, there'll be open, you know, some open space around there for some, again, passive recreation. There'll be the walking lane where people can walk, things of that nature. And I understand your point, but I don't know. It's hard to judge exactly what would be an additional amenity that would work there.
Okay. And of course, I recognize that in our ordinances, we do permit calculations of including the wetlands when we do our density calculation. But if you pull out those wooded wetlands out of your total acreage, because those wooded wetlands represent about a third of your overall property, you're really getting into more like six homes per acre rather than the 4 point whatever. But that's just a comment. It's an ordinance that we're allowed to include wetlands in our density calculations, which sort of like sidewalks, some things I don't agree with, but
yeah,
it's an ordinance.
The only comment I would add is you generally we have to subtract state wetlands, tidal wetlands. We can't count those toward that. But federal wetlands are included. And again, just for comparison purposes, the Bayville Shore condominium next to us, that basically is 30% wetlands. And we are basically 28%. And I say that with the broad thing, because some of that are not wetlands. We're going to treat them as wetlands, but they're not. So, again, I think we're very comparable to what's next to us with a lower net density.
Well, we know that's wetlands are prevalent throughout that area, so that's a given. So other than my comments, I really don't have any questions at this point, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton. Recognizing that this is a completely wooded lot, right, is your view of the stormwater management areas to clear out the trees to put the stormwater management area in, or is there any way to save the trees and still have the stormwater management area?
Jason, again, just identify yourself.
Jason Palkowitz with Solutions. That's an excellent question. With the new regulations, you have to get credits, and they give you credits by saving trees. They also give you credits by clearing trees and putting in BMPs. It's kind of silly. We're showing the worst case scenario on the plan for what we may have to clear. In all of the BMPs, they now have setbacks and distances you have to maintain in order to get a benefit. For example, if you had a house that goes into woods, that goes into wetlands, they won't give you the wood credit because it goes into the wetlands. But if there was no wetlands, they would give you the wooded credit. So it's not been determined yet. It would be ideal to keep the woods. We would love to be able to keep the woods right at the ground level and have that be a BMP that could treat it. But we have to follow the new regulations.
With the area that's in these little tree areas that is your dedicated...
To wetlands?
Wetlands.
Won't be touched.
The
areas that are shown on there as wetlands will remain wooded,
undisturbed.
The areas that aren't utilized for roads, homes, and stormwater management, for the most part, will remain wooded also.
Okay.
So the intention is to keep it as wooded as possible, subject to normal clearing and things of that nature for brush and, you know, make it attractive.
Good deal. It'd be nice to incorporate the stormwater management with the trees, but I don't know how to do that other than to say it tonight.
Good luck with those new regulations.
Yeah.
No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Ms. Cornwell?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Lang?
No question.
Counsel?
Just one, and it's, I don't know that it really has that much significance, but in the application it stated that these are going to be condominiums, because that's what second home buyers are looking to do, and that's fine. Just wondering, we had a similar application, it might have been some of the same people involved, where it was an application for condominiums where after it was approved it came back in to switch it to lots, and there was a question among the commission whether that was a significant change. Having gone through that exercise where it was condominiums and switched to lots, are you all confident that this one's going to stay as condominiums, just so we don't have to go through that exercise again?
Yes.
Okay. Has there been some change? I mean, because I've heard that condominiums are hard to finance sometimes on the...
Well, I think my experience is if you have the option of doing one or the other, you will do it with lots, just because they're fee ownership, they're easier to finance, the banks are a little bit more lenient on fee simple mortgages, things of that nature. But it's kind of dependent on the configuration of your land and, you know, the wetlands and things of that nature to be able to create those lots. So where you can't do it, then condominium's the only way you can do it.
So if you, to add on to that, so if you took the project proposed, you're proposing condominium buildings with a certain number of units in each building, whereby if you went townhouse design, you have to create an aggregate of front and rear yard, which means there's more setback, which means you have to stay further from the wetland for your building. And units have to have side yards, which make it even greater. So probably the better method in this site, because of the condominium proposal, is to stick with the condominiums and not...
Yeah, where you have a large tract of land, you know, you can do it.
And in that one, the other one, I recognize that they were sort of the opposite of this. They appeared like single-family homes in a condominium regime, and then it switched to lots, which is different. I just wanted to make sure... You all were confident that we wouldn't go.
No, we won't be back.
And again,
I would mention, because sometimes there's some confusion, a condominium is really just a form of legal ownership. It's not a building, okay? You can have a single-family condominium, which is standalone because it's not on a lot. You can have townhouses, and you can have the multifamily, which are really the stacked units. You know, you think of Sea Colony East, you know, you think of that as a condominium. It's just a condominium ownership. They have single-family houses down there that are condominium also. So.
Well, the only reason I bring it up on the other one, just because it was the difference between condominiums and lots, which is then the difference between like a conditional use and a subdivision, which is two different types of application. And this one was a conditional use.
This is a conditional use for multifamily, which will be condominiums.
Yeah, not townhouses, which is different.
And just to clarify the record for those people in the audience, that this is proposed as a townhouse side-by-side units, not apartments.
That's correct. These are townhouses that would be a unit alongside a unit alongside a unit, not units above units.
That's all I have. Thanks.
With the conditional use aspect of this, if the commission were to approve it, we could condition it as condos. Really, mm-hmm. We could prevent
that's
that.
Typically,
from happening.
What happens and then?
Yeah. I don't think it's an issue. That I don't think it's going to change.
And I'm not saying it will happen here, but what could possibly happen, and this is where the commission gets into kind of a question, is if an applicant comes back in and wants to change that condition, then the commission has to decide whether it's significant enough to go through another public hearing again.
Exactly,
And I just want to avoid that altogether. Well, that's why.
I don't think you would have to condition, because that's all we're asking for. We're asking for what that site plan shows. So we can't do anything other than what that site plan shows.
Right. And you could clarify it to be a townhouse design condominium project. That is typically.
Well, and I think the other that's kind of a human aspect to this too is that when those sorts of things happen, there is some tendency for the commission to feel like they've been told one thing, and then after the approval, we're doing something different, which can sets up sometimes some feelings that we've been baited and switched, and that's something we want to. We want to avoid. I don't think that's anyone's intention necessarily at the time, but we have no way of knowing that. So, but I think in this instance, not likely to happen. We can stipulate condominiums. I also just wanted to comment on Mr. Johnson's concern about the lack of amenities. I actually think that's not such a bad thing. I've just been noticing in some of the other work that I do that, this condominium ownership regime now has been around our area for 35 or 40 years. And so as these condominiums get older and these amenities have to be replaced and you have a relatively low number of condos, it can be really expensive. So, and especially if you're talking about folks who have retired and are on some type of fixed income, this becomes an issue for them. So to see some of these units where they're not trying to pack a whole bunch of things in there might not be such a bad thing for the public, is what I'm thinking about for the folks who are actually going to buy and live in these units. So
what the applicant was envisioning in this, again, because of the size, 61 units, as I said, as a gathering place where the community people live there, could go down and see other people, walk the dog, have conversations, they could grill down there, they could have picnics down there, things of that nature, which we thought was a nice community activity.
All right. Okay. Anyone?
Just so the minutes are corrected, something with the extra area on either side as well. The extra area on the streets, is that on both sides? Is it 5 feet?
No, just on one side.
Okay, just so we knew. So it's the right of way plus 5 feet on one side. Okay.
Marked.
Well, marked.
Jason,
right.
It's the pavement width plus five. So the pavement width would be, instead of 20, would be 25.
Yeah, and I maybe misspoke on it. Pavement width that's required plus five.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Is that those areas going to be signed for no parking? We always have to look at things as what. What you intend to do versus what could be the unintended outcome, and what we don't want to create is a parking shoulder.
They would have to be, yes.
So I would
that could be a
hope, would hope that they would
concern.
Be that would be the case. All right then. Anyone else have any other questions? Okay then. If you could take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1783 and conditional use number 2028 Cawthon Ventures DE LLC. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone 1783 or conditional use 2028? Yes, ma'am, right here in the front. Come on up, give us your name, and you may have the floor.
Good evening. I want to thank the commission, chair, representatives of planning and zoning to allow me to speak.
We need your name.
I will. My name is Janet Dubert. I am an owner in Bayville Shores Condominium Association. I am also the president of the Condominium Association. There are a couple of statements that I heard earlier that what I'm going to say may correct. And specifically as it pertains to the communities. The Bayville Shores condominium community is the furthest one north from the proposed community, at the very end of Bayville Shores Drive. We share that community with two others, Bayview Landing, which is on both sides of Bayville Shores Drive, and then Bayville Shores South. Bayville Shores South was a community that was built by the same developer-builder who built Bayville Shores. That is a 20-townhouse unit community. Bayville Shores is a 342-townhouse community, and Bayview Landing is approximately 220. Bayville Shores itself is approximately 93 acres. It has, if you use the data presented by Cawthon, it has approximately 3.5 units per acre. If you look at Bayview Landing, they have approximately the same. Bayville Shores South has less, and they have 20 units, not 17. So from the perspective of our opposition at Bayville Shores, and I might add that I've also met with the presidents of Bayview Landing and Bayville Shores South. I do believe that we have a representative here from Bayville Shores South. We have some other owners from Bayville Shores who are also present. I wanted to talk about what our concerns are first. Our concerns are increased groundwater. I've heard the discussion, but looking at the multiple maps, I have the application for the PLUS application, but that draft plan, I believe, has now been modified by this one, which is the last drawing that I just saw up on the easel. And so from the perspective of the boundaries, I think one of the last documents that they submitted in their application best identifies or reflects the boundaries of this new community. And I understand the new name is The Grove as opposed to the enclave at Fenwick. I would suspect that Fenwick Island had something to do with that. But in any case, when you look at their submission and the blue lines, what you see on the furthest eastern point, it's right on Bayville Shores Drive. And we did make a call to Ms. Takiya yesterday because we wanted to know if, in fact, they realized the owners of that property, who on that application is identified as the Steels and Carolyn Burt, that in a road agreement that was submitted to this county back in 2000, there were multiple landowners around that whole area. The Steels, as owner of the property where this community will be built, does in fact have access rights to Bayville Shores Drive. In fact, they have two access points onto Bayville Shores Drive, should they so desire. Now, I appreciate Mr. Figway indicating that they'd be willing to give up those rights, but I need to be certain as to who's giving up those rights to Bayville Shores Drive. That road agreement has all the other owners, McCabe Smith, Thompson, Steele, as owners that have properties surrounding Bayville Shores Drive. And each of them had been granted certain access rights onto Bayville Shores Drive. So increased groundwater, driven surface water, and ponding is certainly a concern to us. We are, and by the way, I failed to mention, we were deeded Bayville Shores Drive by the developer through the 52nd Amendment to our declaration, which is also filed in the county records. So that makes us the entity responsible for that roadway. We also collect fees from Bayview Landing and Bayville Shore South. It is a nightmare as it currently stands, and we just discovered all of this because the owners have just taken over. The developer builder vacated his seats March 29th of 2014. We've been in discovery ever since, and this is one of the things that we've recently discovered. So it falls onto our plate to manage. In addition to increased groundwater, we all know, you add cement, you add blacktop, you add structures, roofs, whatnot, water will flow. So it is a concern of what stormwater management has done, and I understand that there are some recent changes in how to do that. We ourselves at Bayville Shores, Bayview Landing, and Bayville Shore South have to deal with what we currently have on that frontage road, and we call it the frontage because it starts at Route 54, and essentially their responsibility ends at a speed bump that is the start of Bayville Shores. What we currently have are issues with the ditches that have been dug for the biofiltration swales. The builder has come out with help of Representative Ron Gray to lend assistance in correcting some of those deficiencies that we currently have. We do believe we still have some issues on the west side, the side that this property is going to be constructed. Because when you look at this map again, that property butts up right to Bayville Shores South, Bayview Landing, and Bayville Shores by virtue of the fact that it butts up to the property of the road. So there is a concern from all three of us as to how this stormwater is going to be managed, how runoff will be managed, and that any sloping of the property under construction, in fact, is done in a manner that it is slanted away from Bayville Shores Road, Bayville Shores Drive, my apologies, and from the other two properties. So it is a concern. Sedimentation, flooding, erosion, we have that right now on that frontage road in those ditches. While it might look like there is a fix, as that earth is damaged through rain, through just by virtue that it will break away, which it is doing now, we will have additional issues, which was also our concern about added building in the general area. Should they not give up their rights, because I question, by virtue of the application, the owner is Steele, not Mr. McGreevy. I would question, as long as we get something confirmed in writing from Mr. Steele and Ms. Burt, that those rights, in fact, are going to be done. Because the wetlands that are proposed on that document, by virtue of this application, in fact, indicate they're not title. So they're not managed by the federal entities. Corps of Engineers, Environmental Protection Agency. Unlike what we have on ours, we have EPA, the Corps, and the state, DENREC, on our property constantly managing stormwater because we are surrounded by Little Assawoman Bay. So they are very sensitive waters in that area. We know we're paying for it. We didn't develop that. We didn't design it. We didn't design the road. We didn't design the road agreement. We're having to live with all of that. So we are here, I am here, to ensure that whatever is done, I can provide my community assurances that we've done everything that we could do with this county to ensure that the road itself, the stormwater management and runoff is properly developed.
Let me just ask you to make sure I understand what it is that you're asking. From your testimony, I understand you to be saying that you feel that the elimination of the access to Bayville Shores Drive by this property would be a beneficial circumstance for you. Is that a fair statement? Is that what you're asking?
It is.
Okay.
But we would need clarification since it butts up to it. Their buffer is on that property. So the tree line that exists there right now, The lines of who owns what is very kludgy. In fact, this week we asked our property management company to get a surveyor out there so we can properly mark it and understand it.
Any buffer that they are required to provide certainly has to be on their property. So wherever that line is where their buffer has to start, and then whatever that buffer distance is has to proceed into their property if they're happens to be some buffer area between the road and your property line, that's yours, and they can't interfere with it, and they can't count it. It can't be counted in their calculation.
So their buffer on our property, or buffer that butts up to our property, will be our responsibility to maintain.
No, your buffer is your responsibility. Their buffer will be their responsibility. Back to the access issue, my understanding from the applicant's testimony is that they have proffered to us that they'll give that up. We can require them to do that in the if we choose to approve this, recommend approval of this. We can put that in the conditions, and I just wanted to get that on the record for you that is what you're requesting.
That is one, absolutely.
Okay, good.
And again, because it's steel and Burt, not Mr. McGreevy, who I understood to be the client.
Duly noted. Any transfer of the property, all those easements would transfer anyway, so it really doesn't matter. They're part of the deal, no matter who owns it. Whoever owns it at the time can relinquish them, or we can require them to as a condition of approval, and that's what I was getting at.
And that is a huge concern of ours,
okay,
because we were to believe or led to believe that DelDOT did not want to grant that access to Route 54. Mm-hmm. When they redid the road on 54, that stretch between 20 down to Harpoon Hannah's, at that property, they actually have right now a break for two ingress egresses. Mm-hmm. So not just one, but two. Mm-hmm. By virtue of that, then that I will want to add that the traffic pattern is going to be somewhat of a problem. I heard earlier about turning left to go east on Route 54 heading to the beaches. Yes, that will be an impact. Lost Point Road, which is Shady Park and Mr. Gray's property, in fact has a traffic light on that road. No other traffic light exists until you get to Mallard Lakes. And so just to the east of us at Bayville Road, not to be confused with Bayville Shores Drive, is behind Mallard Lakes and is now also the access point, one of which is to the new development called Overlook or Bayville Point, which is supposedly going to have approximately 200 residences on that property. So the another entrance, I do understand that they've also entered into agreement with Mallard Lakes as far as access of a road that had somewhat have been controlled by Mallard Lakes. But again, you're adding that additional density to the area, you're adding to the traffic. And I understand the lack of desire of DelDOT to want to add traffic lights to the road, but I can guarantee you, in season, it is a nightmare from May until just this past weekend. It is absolutely a nightmare to come up and down Route 54. I'm not advocating that this community want to access Bayville Shores Drive. In all honesty, I greatly appreciate if they're willing to give up their rights. But I also want to look at it from the perspective, should DelDOT reconsider, then the only two points would be Lost Point Road or Bayville Shores Drive. They could not access through Bayview Landing, the buffers, the creeks that are there, but Bayview Landing doesn't own Bayville Shores Drive, Bayville Shores does. So I just want to make that clear. And the last real point, again, is the volume. Let's be clear. I think some of the data that was being used is data that was earlier. It's not what currently exists. So 342 townhouses in Bayville Shores, and it is a townhouse condominium community. And yes, it is a nightmare. But nonetheless, the comment about Bayville Shores South and their amenities, well, the builder in his infamous wisdom decided that in order to sell that, they needed to have amenities. Well, it's Bayville Shore South for a reason. But they also, I have another agreement that I have to now deal with, which is amenity use agreement that Bayville Shore South was granted. The answer is no, I won't grant any other community access to our amenities, just for the record. And so it's just my point being that we, the homeowners, and the boards managing these properties are living with these things that over-density, I get it. Believe me, our roads in some cases on our property are very tight. Would question that. So I just ask you to give serious consideration to that density because I think that true number is 4. The original submission was 62. This is 61 based on that last drawing. And it is greater than what all three of those properties currently have. As an average of all together, it's just under 3.5. And we all are concerned about any water runoff since we are currently having to deal now with the aftermath of the vacating of a builder with what we currently have for that system out front.
Okay.
I thank you all.
Thank you.
That's it.
All righty.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Yes, sir.
Good evening, folks. My name is Mike Milo. I live in Bayville Shores South. That's the little development that borders the forest where the proposal for development currently stands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make this kind of easy for you as opposed to going through all the same concerns. For the record, I am a council member. I represent all the folks in Bayville Shores South while I stand here. And what we're saying is we support and we echo all comments and concerns as noted by Bayville Shores North.
Okay.
I want to make sure we're clear on that. It'll save us some time here. One comment I wanted to make, too, regarding amenities. There were two viewpoints here. I can tell you this. Obviously, our little old community has all those amenities that Bayville Shores North has. And there's been some issues, obviously. But right now, one of the current issues is that a lot of folks are sneaking in, so to speak, and using the docks and using the tennis courts and using the pool by making arrangements with other folks. That's going to continue to be a problem. And obviously, with this new community, no amenities, I'll guarantee you there's going to be a lot of conflict here. We're going to try to be getting into the pools and all that stuff. It might sound like a minor issue, but it's a real concern now because our amenities are pretty crowded. I did want to note, too, traffic. It's horrible right now. Somebody's going to get killed going out of Bayville Shores on 54. It's a nightmare. And I know I drive that all the time, and it is horrible. Now we're going to add more and more traffic on 54, and it's only going to compound problems, both going in and out of the proposed new development and going in and out of Bayville Shores. So more traffic, that's just going to hurt us even more. When you talk about the other thing here I had concerns with water runoff, I certainly don't believe that this development, all the water is not going to go, or some of the water is not going to go onto Bayville Shores Road. Of course, we're going to have overflow from this development. We're going to have it. And we have major issues right now with water. They call it my development. They, meaning Bayville Shores North, calls my development the swamp. Kind of embarrassing. But because of issues with flooding, that's been a major concern, and we've tried to address that. We continue to work on those issues. It's cost us a fortune already, and we're going to have additional water runoff now with this development. No matter what anyone says, that's going to happen. So that's a real concern here. One other comment, and that's it. If this proposal goes through and these folks develop this condominium, or these townhomes, the one thing that we at Bayville Shores South have a concern with, we have a proposed in the development plan a 20-foot buffer. A 20-foot buffer ain't nothing. I can stand in the woods, and you can stand 20 feet in the woods, and I can see you. It'll do nothing. I can stand in the woods, and 20 feet away you can stand, and we can have a conversation. So the 20-foot buffer means nothing. What I'm proposing is at minimum a 50-foot buffer. At least it would give us some privacy on our side. And essentially, that's all I've got to say, folks. Any questions for me?
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, then. There being none, perhaps we'll take a show of hands if you would like. I'm not sure how many people are here that have an interest in this. Those of you who are in favor, that shouldn't take us very long. Okay, and opposed to this? Okay, there you go. I thought there were some sleepers here.
I had 17.
Okay. Good enough. All right, then, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close the public hearing, but before we do, I doubt seriously that you're going to want to remain to see if we make a decision this evening, but you're welcome to if you do. But chances are you're all going to want to get up at one time, and something inside of human beings, when they stand up, their mouths come open. And I would like for you to not do that, because we're going to continue our business here. So we'd appreciate it if you're going to exit, if you would do so quietly. We thank you for being with us. Your input is important and will be taken under consideration.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, just as a reminder for the folks here tonight.
October 13th.
Planning and Zoning makes a recommendation to Sussex County Council. I know Mr. Wheatley covering this, sometimes Mr. Smith, but there will be another hearing before County Council on October
13th.
October 13th. That's a Tuesday. It'll be in the afternoon. So you have another opportunity to participate in that hearing at that
time.
Yes,
please, and please do. Please do. And we thank you. We'll close the public hearing. We do invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. That completes our public hearings for the evening. On to other business. Our first item of other business is Coastal.